Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If you have not been outside yet, do yourself a favor. Put the show on the Odyssey app on your phone and walk outside. This is freaking awesome. It's 75 degrees. It's sunny. It's like a summer day on April 9th. Soak it all in because it ain't lasting long. We got a very busy show today. New York Yankee fans feel completely ripped off after yesterday. And it's not the team's fault. The New York football Giants may be about to do something really, really bold. And we've got a massive night in sports we're going to get you set for, including one of the best rivalries in this area, the New York Islanders taking on the New York Rangers. But I think I've shown you over the first 2 weeks of this baseball season, Tiki, that I am being very rational. Mm-hmm. I am being very calm. Mets get off to a bad start. Yankees are off to a great start. I like to take a very deep breath and remind people it's only a handful of games. Mm-hmm. But last night in Atlanta, Georgia, the New York Mets did something that I would argue, and I'm saying this how many hours later now? 16 hours later? I've had a chance to cleanse myself. The New York Mets pulled off their most shocking victory in a half a decade last night in Atlanta. The New York Mets' victory last night was more important than the five consecutive losses on the negative side that they started the season with. That's how massive, how shocking, and how season-altering last night's victory was against the Atlanta Braves. They're down 4-0. We all think they're dead. They're down 5-4. We all think they're dead. Carlos Mendoza announces to the world, "Hey, guys, I don't really have any good relievers to use in this game. You won't see Edwin Diaz. You won't see Brooks Raley. You won't see Adam Ottavino. And oh, by the way, we're facing the Braves, who are like Murderer's Row on steroids." And the Mets win anyway. Last night was as stunning of a win as the Mets have had in a long time and is the kind of win that makes you say, "Holy crap, they may be good."
Okay. Calm yourself, Evan. Calm yourself. You weren't very, you didn't get low when the Mets season started.
That's right. I remain calm.
Now, all of a sudden, they have a very good win. Mm-hmm. Very good win against the Braves. And now you're saying this is the most important win of the season 10 games in?
Tiki, I want you to explain to the audience what you witnessed last night. Because you know what Tiki witnessed? He was in the Mets text chat.
Yes, I did.
When the Mets are down 4-0 because Julio Teheran looked good for 2 innings and then you know what it all over himself in the 3rd inning. What did everybody say in the text chat?
We suck. It's over. Game's terrible. Season's done.
Bingo!
That's basically what was streaming in the Mets chat.
When the Mets come back and tie it at 4, we say, wow, that was stunning, but there's no way we win this game. When the Mets go up 8-5 and Brandon Nimmo continues his massive, massive performance by capping it with that RBI single in the 8th after hitting 2 home runs earlier in the game, what did everybody in the Mets text chat say? We're going to lose anyway. And by the way, they represent Met fans. There is not a soul listening to this radio show right now that thought for any moment they were winning last night. Not a second.
Well, except for Gary and Keith, who thought that Edwin Diaz was maybe available.
Well, I should have known better.
I know.
Because he was not. And so instead, Jorge Lopez had to survive by his skinny skin. What's it called?
The skin of his teeth.
The skin of his teeth? No, what's that? The three pigs.
The hair on his chinny chin.
Thank you, Loogie. The hair on his chinny chin.
Yes.
There's not a human that thought the Mets were winning that game last night, and they did!
Well,
that's why you shouldn't minimize the importance of a win like that against a team like that in a location like that in a game like that.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying, it's the most important game for the Met fan because it alleviated the negativity that permeated the entire game, no matter how good it got, no matter how amazing Brandon Nimmo was, no matter how surprising DJ Stewart going yard was.
Stunning.
It was, but that's what we're talking about. Because if we're saying that this is what the Mets team is going to be, I'm not buying it yet, right? I'm not buying that Brandon Nimmo is going to be a 2-home run hero, 5 RBIs, go 4-for-4 every outing, right? Or that DJ Stewart is going to hit home runs when necessary, like he did last night. Unfortunately, you're kind of stuck with what you're seeing, which is Lindor not doing much, Pete Alonso striking out in important spots, right? You see too much emaciated performance from guys who shouldn't be doing it right now. And so, yes, this was a great win, but I don't think it's indicative of anything. I think it was just a great night.
No, au contraire, my friend. The New York Mets got nothing out of Francisco Lindor. He was 0-for-4. They got nothing out of Pete Alonso. He was 0-for-4. They got nothing out of Francisco Alvarez. He was 0-for-5. Their 2-3-4 hitters were 0-for-13. And they won anyway. And they scored 8 runs and came back on the Braves anyway.
Twice. They came back twice.
Twice.
But that's because Nimmo was a hero.
Okay. And DJ Stewart hit a home run. Great. And Joey Wendell got on base once. And then Tyrone Taylor got a hit and scored a run. I mean, okay. That's baseball. The point is they overcame their great players doing nothing, won a game in a location they never win. I said this to you on the air yesterday, and I hope you guys were listening. I hope this number was in your head as you sat down last night and watched Mets Braves. In their last 20 games against the Atlanta Braves, the Mets were 4-16. And not only were they 4-16 in their last 20 games against the Atlanta Braves, they would find a million different ways to lose to the Atlanta Braves. Whether it's blowing leads with high-priced veteran players, whether it's getting completely blown out, whatever it was, the Mets would lose to the Atlanta Braves over and over and over and over and over again. And last night, it's one game, I get it. But last night, they not only beat the team they never beat, they won a game they never win. And that's why, and I've said this a million times before, and will I look like an idiot in a couple of days? Who knows? There are 162 games in a baseball season, and they are not all created equal. There are wins that are better than others, and there are losses that are worse than others. And I can promise you, we will be on the radio to talk about the losses that are worse than others. Well, I am here to say that win last night is better than your normal win.
Oh, yeah.
That win last night the win that turns all the negativity that every freaking person has in this city about this team. The core sucks. The team sucks. This sucks. Everything sucks. The season's over in April. When you beat the Braves the way you do last night, that's different.
Yes.
And maybe I'm being too giddy, or maybe I'm so used to the Braves beating our heads in over and over again and losing that game night in and night out. And last night, they didn't lose it.
I know it. I'm not saying it wasn't a great win. I'm not minimizing that. I'm just saying it's not indicative of anything. It was one night. Until you get consistency from these guys, it's just one night. Until you get Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso, even though Pete's been mostly good for the season, but let's say Francisco Lindor being Francisco Lindor, it's just one night.
Okay, and it was just five games to start the season 0-5, and now it's five games in which they've won 4 out of 5. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it's only 10 games into this season. I acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to go nuts about losing your first five games, which everybody did, and I was tested too, man. When they lost the first game of that doubleheader, I was bloody tested sitting next to you. 0-5, this team stinks, the season's over in April. Well, they've responded.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
They responded now by winning 4 out of 5 and winning a game last night in a place and a team where they never win.
Mm-hmm.
In a location and in a roster situation in which Carlos Mendoza, and it's not all his fault, had his arms tied behind his back because their best relievers weren't available.
Yeah, but it was also...
And they won anyway.
Right, but it was also, I mean, some of it is his fault, managing the relievers the way that that he had. And then announcing, as you said, that they would not be available.
Yeah, I question why he's got to announce that. You should probably keep that one close to the vest. Right, you don't need to tell your opponent Edwin Diaz isn't available.
Right, you could tell Edwin Diaz that he's not going to pitch tonight,
sure.
Most likely. But at the same time, you probably want to keep it in the back of your mind because there was a moment, and we kept hearing it on the broadcast, or at least a couple times they said it on the broadcast, the TV broadcast, that Edwin Diaz could be available. At least they were alluding to the fact that he could be available. I wonder if somewhere in Mendy's mind, he was saying, I know I said his kid's not going to play. I know that Edwin Diaz is probably not, it's not right to throw him out there, but this win means more.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I just said to you, certain wins matter more than other wins. Certain losses sting more than other losses. I understand why you've got to protect bullpen arms. Mm-hmm. I understand why Aaron Boone's got to do it. I understand why Carlos Mendoza has to do it. You can't burn guys out. And Edwin Diaz and Adam Ottavino and Brooks Raley, they've pitched a lot recently, and I respect that. But there are moments in games where you have to call an audible. There's a moment where you say, you know what? Hey, Edwin, how you feeling? Because if you pitch today, I'll give you 5 days off. I understand I got to pay the piper on this one, but we need this one. We want this one. Because as giddy as I am today, as giddy as Met fans may be off a win like that, if they lose that game, and we all thought they were, we'd be screaming and yelling, how do you not use your best reliever? How do you not whisper in his ear and say, how you feeling, big guy? Right. If you can come in and get me 3 outs today, this would go a long way, and we'll sit you down for 3 or 4 days. Like, that's a conversation that should happen. It didn't happen, And that's why that's not going to be talked about that much today, because the Mets found a way to win. But I am a man of my word. There are certain wins that matter more than other wins. Mm-hmm. And last night, and I had one hell of a night watching this game, because one of my sons, I'm not going to put them on blast, cannot sleep at night. And daddy needs to take care of him. So dad was taking care of him while scoring the Met Brave game and dealing with the ups and downs. And it was something else. Under the covers, scorebook there. Don't worry, son. Everything's okay. It's just a nightmare. Don't worry. I was father of the year and psycho baseball fan all rolled into one.
Oh, that's why you have a book.
And by the way,
called My Mets Bible.
Thank you. And while I was doing that, because I ain't going to lie to the audience, they need to know. While I was doing that, I kept betting on the Atlanta Braves.
Emotionally sure.
Oh, I was emotionally hedging like a
king of the emotional.
I'm a baby. When Travis d'Arnaud off the bat, I thought hit a walk-off home run. Did we all think that d'Arnaud hit a walk-off home run?
Yeah.
I was in line to win stupid amount of money. Because I was so, and that just proves to you, my emotion backs up my words. That win mattered last night.
So when Nimmo hits the tying home run, you emotionally insured?
No, I had to wait till they took a lead.
Right, so
Mets needed to take a lead.
So when the Mets take 5-4 to lead, you emotionally insured?
Once they went up 8-5.
8-5.
Once DJ Stewart hit the home run. Actually, they went up 7-5. Mm-hmm. I made the bet. 100%. Then they went up 8-5 and made another bet. Then it went to the ninth inning. I made another bet.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think I bet like $75, nothing crazy. But I was in line to win like a grand because I kept getting the Mets at these stupid odds. And let me tell you. Emotional insurance kind of works because I don't give a rat's ass about the $75. I really don't. Now, you got to be responsible about it. That's my advice. And to me, that win last night was worth more than $75.
Yeah, you lose 3 of 4 and you're down $75 at the end of the week. You look back on it.
Right. Why are you bringing up losing 3 out of 4? They just won the game.
Because that's where this matters next now, Evan. You can't allow just last night to be last night. Otherwise, that's all it is. It's a fart and a win. It's a great night. And a night that, by the way, every Met fan should be celebrating because it is a house of horrors
down
in Atlanta.
Doesn't it almost feel like what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you, is that if this series ends 1-3 for the Mets, was it really that impactful? Really that meaningful?
You should expect more now. You took that first game, let it turn into something.
But are we expecting more?
But here, not to tie this in, because you know these two teams should be separate, but this reminds me of the Yankees' comeback on opening day versus the Houston Astros, where we walked away from that day going, wow, they beat the Astros, they came back, that was grit. That game is forgotten about if the Yankees went and lost the next 3 games, but they didn't. They went into their house of horrors and they took care of business.
So if they don't use it as a catalyst,
then it's
kind of a waste.
You need more now.
Okay, I will answer that comment. You're half right, okay? And here's the difference between Yankees, Astros, and Mets, Braves. And this is going to sound so losery, but I'm being perfectly honest with you. The New York Yankees needed to prove they can get past Houston. That's the team you need to prove you're better than.
Don't the Mets have to prove that they can get past Atlanta?
The Mets are not getting past Atlanta, and I accept that. Like, I'm not sitting here on April 9th telling you the Mets are winning the NL East. I'm certainly not proclaiming that. And that win didn't make me feel like the Mets are winning the NL East or the Mets could even compete on the level of the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves, despite this injury to Spencer Strider, they are an elite-level baseball team. Here's what I'm trying to prove, and here's where you're half right. If the Mets go out and lose the next 3 games to Atlanta and they limp home to take on Kansas City, I'll be down in the dumps, and I'll admit, all right, great, that win was a fart in the wind. So it's not about... I agree they can't just lay down after this.
Yeah.
But what I need is not to sweep the Atlanta Braves because I'm not delusioned enough to think they're on their level. I need them to compete with the Atlanta Braves. I need them to win one more game in this series.
That's fair.
If they could get a split in this series, I get it. That's a loser mentality. And no Yankee fan had that thought after the great comeback on opening day. That's why we're different. Like, the Yankees and the Mets are different.
It's also a division rival, and so you're going to see them a lot more times than the Yankees are going to see the Houston Astros. So we almost can't even compare it. Because it's an emotional, once we get to the postseason, what do we need to do to get over this team? Well, this is Yankees for Astros.
Yes, yes, yes.
But for Mets and Braves, it's like, dude, we got to see these guys a lot.
No, you know what for the Mets it is, Tiki? Surviving April. Because a week ago, I'm hearing everybody bury this team, they're dead, they stink. So winning in Atlanta twice, dare I say 3 times, is not about sending a message to the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking trash to the Atlanta Braves. I'd be an idiot. I mean, I may sound like a raving lunatic sometimes, but I try to keep things in perspective. The Braves are far better. What I want to do is survive April. What I want to do is be in contention to make the postseason. And so winning another game in this series, maybe something you laugh at, Sean, or Tiki says, ah, great, you split with the Braves. Who cares? That's a big deal for the New York Mets. That's a big deal for this team moving forward.
Well, it is because it's one, it's the first one of the year, and how it happened with Nimmo being superhuman, and then obviously with DJ Stewart as well. But it's not something you need to, you know, count on down the road. But you could get a DH, even though I'm getting much less confident that you're going to get that DH.
Well, JD's just sore. He'll be here
whatever
soon.
Whatever the hell is wrong with JD Martinez? I almost feel like they signed damaged property. I really do.
Oh, I'm starting to believe that.
Tiki. Sore? What the hell is he doing? He's taking single-A batting practice? Like, what's going on with him?
He got four at-bats in a single-A game. Right. He's very sore.
So my point is, you almost now need to rely on DJ Stewart for at least the short term. And I don't know if that's repeatable. I just don't think it's repeatable.
Yeah, but you're overanalyzing one win in terms of that being the norm.
You're overemphasizing important, but if they end up losing the rest of the series, how important was this one win?
Look, I agree. If they go lose the next three games, it'll be a buzzkill. I admit that. But if they can win one more game in this series and get a split in Atlanta and come back home against the Royals with a record that I know doesn't sound amazing, but sitting at 5-8, yeah, I'd feel all right. I'd say, okay, we have a season. Because after the 0-5 start, especially the way they lost the first game of the doubleheader, there was panic amongst Met fans that, oh my God, this season's over before it starts. Mm-hmm. And look, the Atlanta Braves, they are the elite, them and the L.A. Dodgers in the National League. I'm not saying the Mets are on the Braves level. They're not. But I am sick and tired of getting our ass kicked by the Atlanta Braves. Because this whole derailment of the 2022 New York Mets, it started with them.
Mm-hmm.
It was them who did it.
Yeah.
That's why, until last night, the Mets were 4-16 in their last 20 games against the Atlanta Braves. And they lost so many disgusting different ways.
I would slightly push back on the 2022 season, not to relitigate it, but they grinded to win the division, and they didn't need to. We know it. Scherzer wore himself out. DeGrom wore himself out. So once they got to the postseason, it was over. And I remember Joe Benigno, maybe it was on Evan and Tiki and Tierney, talking about they have to win the division. The Mets have to win the division. And it turned out that year, you know what? You really don't have to win the division.
They didn't have to win the division. They needed to wilt when it mattered.
True, but they tried to. And they went too far after it. And it just happened to be against the Braves, a game that I was at, actually. And DeGrom would do nothing but throw 98, 99, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, and he got teed off on. And so that was a different circumstance. I think this Met team is a different feel, right? It's a different grind.
Well, hold that thought. Different feel. That means a lot to a lot of different people. Well, you know what felt different last night? They showed balls last night.
True.
That's what felt different.
Well, you know why it's different? It's because in 2022, you knew they were good, right? End of the season. You know they're a 100-win team. You know that they are going to the postseason, and they should be strong. This team feels like, guys, you guys got to grind. I know we had a big win against the Atlanta Braves, but that doesn't guarantee us jack.
No, you're right. They're not as talented.
There is a grind ahead of this Met team.
They're not as talented as they were 2 years ago. They're not as hyped as they were 2 years ago. But last night, in a random April Monday night, they showed guts. Because they were down 4-0 to the Atlanta Braves. And there are people listening to my voice who never saw the end of the game. Because they shut it off. And you know who you are. You know who you are. And there were people last night, because I put a snap poll out on social media when Jorge Lopez came in the game. I said, you think Jorge Lopez is blowing this? 80% of people said yes in that snap poll of 10 minutes. He got close. But he won. And the Mets win last night, to me, was more significant than that 5-game losing streak to start the year. There are certain nights and certain games that just matter more. We'll get you your thoughts on it coming up, 877-337-6666. And you may be thinking to yourself, how do you go to Yankee Stadium last night, watch the Yankees kick ass, and feel ripped off? Well, there are plenty of Yankee fans that do. We'll explain it coming up. Toll-free number 877-337-6666. Another edition of Posted and Toasted, where we guess our coworkers' old social media tweets coming up. We'll get to the Yankees in a couple of minutes, as well as the idea that the Giants may be poised to make a massive trade to trade up for a quarterback that they wish to go after. Plus, we'll get to Posted and Toasted in 1 hour. But when you sit down at night to watch sports, if that's what you do on most nights, I would say 98% of the time you see something, it's not really that surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Either you walk away happy, you walk away sad, and you go to bed. Very few nights possess the emotions of shock that the Mets gave their fan base last night. A state of shock. A state of, there's no way that happened. And here's how you measure the state of shock. Did you shut the game off? Because there were people in the audience that did.
There are people down 4-0 that said, I'm out. There are people said, yeah, we're over, especially when the Braves came back again and put the Mets down after they scored a run in the sixth inning. And it looked like they were going to score more after Darno ripped that double. It was a state of shock. And then when you've got to use Jorge Lopez, who's throwing batting practice to start the ninth inning, and somehow, some way, he keeps Travis d'Arno in the building, and somehow, some way, Tyrone Taylor makes this ridiculous catch against Marcelo Ozuna, in which the SNY cameras made it seem like it was 50 rows back.
He did.
It's a state of shock. Like, when that game ended, I was comatose for about 2.5 minutes. Comatose. I was like, holy crap, did I just see what I saw? What were you doing after that game was over?
I went straight to bed. I didn't have the emotional reaction that you did. I was lucky I was able to watch it as Tracy was doing or preparing for our taxes at the computer in our bedroom. And so I was watching the Mets game. Otherwise, I have to listen to it.
By the way, can I knock Tracy a little bit?
Go ahead.
It's April 9th. What are we doing here? You're a week before tax day.
She is unbelievably prepared. You have no idea.
Yeah, but it's 6 days ahead of time.
My taxes are complicated.
I'm sure they are.
I've already spent my measly return.
Right. The only reason you're not going to watch the end of it instead of listening to it, because what happens is I usually have to plug in a headphone and listen to it while she's watching whatever she's watching in bed. Unless I just want to stay downstairs, which I feel guilty sometimes. She's like, are you coming upstairs ever? I'm like, all right, I'm coming. So I come upstairs. I'm expecting to have to put in my earplug to listen to it on the radio. And instead, she's at her computer doing taxes. And I was like, yes, I can watch the end of it.
Look at that.
So I sat in bed and watched the end of it. As soon as it was over, turned it off, we got in bed.
So you're emotionless.
I was emotionless.
You're like, they won. I mean, the Mets chat's happy. I want to bet now.
Exactly. I watched the Yankees obliterate the Marlins.
Yes.
I was happy before I even flipped it on.
What'd you do, Sean, after the Mets won?
Oh, it was easy. I was in a minute-by-minute box pool with the national championship game, so I went right to that to see
how much. A box pool?
Yeah.
With, like, final scores like they do for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I had 6-1, and every minute on the minute it paid out. So I finally hit one late in the second half.
I got to tell you, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's it was wild. First time I ever did it.
Say that one more time.
That kind of feels degenerative.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Have you met me?
I mean, seriously.
So at the end of every minute, if your digit is at the end, you get paid. Because we all know about Super Bowl box games. Like, we all are aware of that.
Yes.
I didn't know they did that with any other sport.
First time I ever did it. Yeah. I had.
By the way,
I hit, though.
It was probably the only way to make the game interesting.
Oh, it was.
I swear to you, because that game, I didn't even watch the end of it. Because you just knew it was
over.
Well,
the whole tournament, I have to admit, was very unwatchable. It just was.
The women was great. The men was not watchable.
It was actually pound for pound one of the worst NCAA tournaments of all time. And with all due respect to UConn fans, congratulations. I mean, they dominated their way to another victory, to a national championship in back-to-back years. They kicked everybody's ass.
Right. Give them their kudos. They deserve it.
No doubt. But for us, as just regular sports fans, like last night on my TV setup, it was an afterthought. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest with you. Like, Raw was a much bigger deal. And by the way, could that have been more endless? Cody Rhodes and The Rock are still talking.
That opening segment, you're right, lasted about 3.5 days.
Oh, my God.
How bad was that?
It went for, and I even tweeted, I don't know what's worse, the Met game or Cody Rhodes' promo. Now, as that happened, The Rock showed up and Brendan Nimmo hit a game-tying home run. And so I was like, whoa, I think everything's turning around.
Dude, being in your basement or wherever you watch these things sounds like an ADD experience.
Yeah, it's an ADD experience. Yes. Wait till tonight. Tonight is about to be ADD on crack. You ready for tonight? Islanders, Rangers, the Met game, the Yankee game, the Knicks game, the Nets game.
Roughly at the same time.
And I'm leaving the Devils out. Sorry. Why? Well, what did I forget, Loogie?
No, it's not what you forgot. It's what you added. Nets game?
No, you're right. Milwaukee, Boston. I got to include Milwaukee, Boston. I got to include that game. Mm. Yeah, you know what? Nets are getting bounced. I tell you right now, I think I'm putting the Bucks game over the Nets game at this point.
I would watch two crickets having sex before I watch a Net game at this point.
That actually sounds interesting, no? Let's get to your calls. Brendan is calling from the enemy city of Atlanta, Georgia. What's up, Brendan?
Hello. So I am originally from New York. I relocated down to Atlanta 7 years ago, and I am a diehard Mets fan. So when you're talking about the win last night being important, it's so much more important to me. Because funny enough, my office is actually located at the Battery right outside that baseball stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
Wonderful banners every day.
I can imagine. Well, I'm glad you were able to get that victory, but you got to be careful because, and I said this earlier, I am not, and nor should you, talking trash to the Brave fan.
Yeah.
Because the Braves are better than us. They're a lot better than us. It's more just the joy and the shock that the Mets were able to win a game like that. And maybe it tells us something different about this team than maybe we expected.
Did you go, Brendan?
No. So I'm actually going. My friend has season tickets, so I'll be going tonight and tomorrow. And then 12:30 on Thursday is just not going to work for my work schedule. So
yeah. No, you can't take days off. I mean, maybe you could.
No, you can. Tell your boss it's a big deal.
If they take the next two, so if they're going 3-0 for the sweep.
God, could you imagine?
Maybe you could call it sick.
Yes, if somehow the Mets win the next two games and you have a chance to go to a matinee where they're looking for a sweep.
Brendan, call in sick.
Yes, call in sick. I'll write the note for you.
Yes.
I will call your boss personally. In fact, I'd be so giddy about that. I think I'd buy him the tickets too at this point.
You know what I would do?
What?
I would get Matt Ryan to give your sick note.
Oh, jeez.
That would work.
That would work.
100%.
All right, we have a deal.
We have a deal.
You got Brendan's information? Well, he called in, so we have like all this high-tech software where we can get his number, right?
If not, call back, Brendan.
Brendan, call back at some point or email the RicoB@gmail.com. Here's what we got going for you. And by the way, anybody in Atlanta, any Met fan in Atlanta listening, let's apply this to everybody. If the Mets are going for a sweep, Matt Ryan himself we'll get you out of work on Thursday afternoon.
Absolutely.
This is your most brilliant idea.
Dude, it just worked. It just clicked in my mind.
I feel so pathetic.
I'm like, who do I know in Atlanta? Oh, Matt Ryan.
That's great.
He's royalty down there.
I'm so pathetic. I showed up by like, I'm going to get him out of work. Who the hell am I? Matt Ryan calling.
You're big
him
up here, but down in Atlanta, they might hate you.
Let's go to Kyle in Mountainside, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Evan, Tiki. How you doing, boys?
We're good. What's
happy
up, dude?
Tuesday. Not much. Evan, first time talking to you. Huge fan of Rico and love listening to you.
Appreciate
talking
it.
Back, brother.
Thank you, man. What's up?
I just wanted to just bring up 2 points from yesterday that I noticed. That, like, down 4-0, we're hurting. Marte comes up. Alonzo takes a nice secondary, hits that base real hard. He's moving like I've never seen him move before. And Kelnick comes in, throws an absolute seed. And Alonzo gets under the tag. I thought that was huge.
You're right.
For the Mets.
You're right. I don't think any of us thought it at the time because it turns a 4-0 game into 4-1, and then DJ ended up bouncing into the double play right after that. But you're right. Yeah. Pete Alonso being able to score on that play, which off the bat I wasn't sure of, was a huge play. It's why these sabermetrics drive me nuts. Oh, Pete Alonso's a terrible base runner. Watch the game. I never watch games and think Pete Alonso's a bad base runner. Do I think sometimes he runs like he's got something in stuck in his pants?
You know what it is? But it's body shaming. People look at his body and they say he can't be fast.
Right.
But he's not. He doesn't need to be fast. He just needs to be efficient.
Exactly.
He runs efficiently. And that's why he's able to get there as opposed to being out by 2 feet.
I think the body shaming argument is spot on. They body shame him because he's kind of doofy looking. And I love Pete. That's me saying it. I mean, I have a beard that's doofy looking out of loyalty to Pete Alonso. But look, when you make a comeback like that and you win a game like that against a team like that, little things matter. Mm-hmm. Tyrone Taylor making a leaping catch in the ninth inning, it matters. Breaking up a double play, which I actually saw the Mets do, even though I was told they don't break up double plays, those things matter. Clutch hits matter. I mean, last night, I'm telling you, there's 162 of these. I'm not going to always be super pumped up after every win. That felt different. What are you laughing over there, Chuckles?
I'm loving listening to you in your glory because I'm just envisioning what the next three nights in Atlanta look like.
I know. They better win.
They better win at least one more.
Have I guaranteed they're going to win?
No,
any?
You haven't. You haven't.
But I'm just saying that was a massive win.
No, what he's saying, what Sean is saying is that there is this like glee in your voice. You can hear it.
That's
it's
true.
Like this is optimism. After 0-5 and now 4-6, feels like 500 is just right around the corner. Something that Sean thinks is not going to happen for the rest of the season, by the way.
Yeah, so. Are you sticking with that, by the way, that they will not see 500 again?
I will say that last night, when that game finally ended, I said to myself, this is now officially dicey. But I'm sorry. I think the Mets are going to met here. I think the next three nights are going to prove to be ugly nights. I'm going to be right back to where we started.
By the way, this is what matters about this Met team. It's not that they won this game. It's what do you do after?
Of course.
Like, how do you respond to now having finally some success against the Atlanta Braves, especially down in Atlanta?
No, I totally get it. You got to build off it. The Mets have won 4 out of their last 5 games. Go win at least another game in this series against Atlanta. TJ's in Woodbridge. What's up, TJ?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So, I kind of agree with a lot of what's being said today. I mean, I think that was a big win, especially because of who they were playing down and in Atlanta.
Yep.
But, obviously, they are the Mets, so you get a little pessimistic. And I remember last year, I mean, we were saying the same thing after Alonzo hit a walk-off against the Rays. They were like, well, you know, this is a game that
You're
can
right.
carry momentum.
You're right. You're right.
And, I mean, look, I want to see the Mets win more than anything. But, you know, and my whole idea was, well, if they can steal the series, well, not steal the series, but if they can win the series in Cincinnati and then split down in Atlanta, I think they'd be in a great spot coming. I think they come back home after that.
Yes, Kansas City for three games, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking if they could win the series in Cincinnati, split in Atlanta, you know, that'd be a massive deal coming back home. And, you know, if they can win one more game down there, I think that's a win for this team.
100%.
You know?
100%. And you know what adds to this, TJ? And I think this is a part of what's made these games feel bigger. And I blame everybody. There's no one in particular I'm going to rip on this. I'm going to blame, let's say, 75% of New York City. That's how I'll define it. The Mets were being buried in April. Shovels were coming out to diagnose the New York Mets in April.
Yeah, but...
And it pissed me off.
But could you blame people if they had started this season?
Yes, I can blame people because what I said to you on the radio was it's four games. That's what I said when they were 0-4.
Yes.
It's four games. And I said, I'm not in Panic City yet. And I felt like Met fans and non-Met fans decided to take the shovels out in the month of April. And it pisses me off.
Oh,
and
stop, now, you hypocrite.
Stop. Oh, I'm not a hypocrite. When did I take the shovel out?
We sat here with you on Bork in the Park Day during a doubleheader and watched you hunch back in your chair after game one, and you had death of the season eyes. So don't tell me that everybody else took out the shovels. You may not have uttered the words in the microphone, pal, but you laid back in that seat. Tiki saw it, I saw it, and Loogie saw it.
Yep.
And as they started to get no hit in a game they came back and won, your eyes were glazed back, and you thought, oh, my God, the season's over
in
April.
The only thing that saved it was the second game.
Right.
Which had 15,000 people.
Right.
Allegedly.
Well,
15,000 people. They won 2-1.
Right. Great
and,
win.
And you stayed while Loogie was doing his Loog hour.
Yes, I interrupted his show to celebrate with him.
And it became like, oh, finally. It was like you took the biggest you-know-what in the world.
But here's the thing. You deserve that moment. And that was a great moment. And last night was a great moment. And I hope the Mets keep clearing this week in Atlanta. But don't sit there and yell at everybody else who declared the season dead. Because you may not utter those words in a microphone, but your eyes told a different story, pal.
I want to get this straight. Just so I understand. I never said it, but because I looked despondent in the midst of a brutal loss.
Your eyes were glazed.
Okay, it was
And I don't know if you just didn't sleep the night before, stressing over this or whatever, but your eyes were glazed. You were like... shell shocked.
It was in the middle of a game. It was in the middle of a brutal loss.
I know.
So when you sat there, you didn't think in the back of your head, damn, the season really is over.
I was being tested. I think we all were. 0-5, a loss like that. But I wasn't taking the shovel out. I was reminding you it's early in the season and things can change on a dime. And guess what? They did.
And they have,
because they won that game that they pulled out of their rear end against Detroit. They won 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati. And they won a game last night in Atlanta that they never win. So I'm not making declarative statements. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the World Series. But I'm also not burying them like 75% of the city did. Mm. Why? Because the Mets are going to Mets. Your word's not mine. Why? Because you want to make your LOL Mets jokes? It was idiotic to bury them 4 games into a season. Own it.
They were losing to the Brewers and Tigers at home with this insane stretch coming up that nobody believed they were going to win 2 or 3 in Cincy or 3 or 4 in Atlanta. Now all of that is on the table. They are allowed to ride the roller coaster like every other team. But don't sit there and bemoan others when you know damn well you thought the same thing.
I thought it. I didn't say it, but I thought it.
Yes, you did.
You're holding against me because my eyes looked a certain way.
Yes, just be honest. You thought it too, like 75% of everybody else.
It's a radio show. Did I speak into a microphone and say this season's over?
No.
Did I say it?
No, but 75% of the fans don't have microphones in front of their face, but they thought it the same thing you were thinking. Don't hide from it.
Okay, I thought they were going to lose last night too. What does that mean?
It means it's okay to admit you're just like the rest of the fan base that thought it was over and you're wrong.
No, I'm not the rest of the fan base that was burying them 4 games into a season. By the way, I give Loogie credit. He's one of the guys who didn't bury him either. He got depressed. He got upset. He wasn't burying them.
But those are normal emotions of being a Met fan, so I'm kind of used to those emotions. Right. But I did not bury them.
Did you do it on the Loog Hour, Loogie?
Did I do what?
Bury him.
No.
Sure?
No.
No, he was too busy.
Positive. Right. I said Pete Alonso turned the season around with that home run. And by the way, he did. They should have won every single game since then. They should have swept the Reds.
Just making sure.
No,
Tiki. Why, you have audio to go
get that? Just making sure.
He's got bigger fish to fry, Loogie. He's too worried about saving the Knicks dog's dude's moniker.
We'll get to the Knicks later as well. Let's go to Tommy and Dix Hills. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're good.
before I start, I wanted to say, Sean, I'm actually one of my best friends is your cousin, Steve.
Wow.
All right, Fireman Steve.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about was, I know this is unorthodox, but batting 1-for-30 is also unorthodox.
Yes.
Why can't Lindor maybe bat righty against the righty just to kind of get in a groove? Like, is that unheard of?
To get him going, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, it's not absurd.
He's a better righty. We get it.
So, yeah. But here's the thing. So I think people need to realize this about Francisco Lindor. So far this season, he has looked lost at the plate from the left side. Last year, there were major splits, discrepancies between how good he was batting right-handed versus how good he was batting left-handed. There's no denying the splits from a year ago. But throughout Lindor's career, he's been fine as a left-hand hitter.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as if he's always struggled from the left side. So, yeah, it was a major issue last year. So far, he's struggling from both sides of the plate, but I get it. He showed more of a pulse from the right side a couple of days ago in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he just hit a home run from the right side.
But I do think it's extreme when you are a career switch hitter and you've shown yourself to be good from both sides of the plate. Look at his numbers in 2022. Look at the splits. I think it would be extreme to abandon one side. Now, as far as that being unorthodox, one thing I remember is Bobby Bonilla used to bat right-handed against certain right-handed pitchers. We're seeing that right now with Oswaldo Cabrera of the Yankees. He bats left-handed against certain left-handers. So, look, maybe there were certain pitchers where he would see better batting from the right side. But despite the extreme splits from last year and despite the rough start this year, I do think Tiki would be extreme for a career switch hitter to give up batting from one side of the plate.
He's never done it. No, he's never exclusively gone one-sided just so he could get out of a slump. So, at this point in his career, I mean, it's not like he's a young man. He's 31 years old at this point. So you don't want to do something you've never done just to try to get out of something that's likely short term.
Yes.
Right? So it's just, it doesn't make sense, even though I can see why people would say, you know what, clear the clutter. Get rid of the thought process of being a lefty for a short time.
I don't know if it works that way, though.
I don't think it does either. I mean, yeah. I've never been ambidextrous like that, so I don't know what the process is to go about it or when he even started, you know, going both ways. But it just doesn't make sense because it's not long enough.
Right.
Like if his struggles from the left side go for a month or 2 months.
Well, but the problem
then
was
maybe you start thinking
the
about
problem
it.
Was it happened last year. Like his splits, I'll give them to you real quick. Last year versus left-handed pitching, he had 16 home runs and 200 plate appearances. He had 15 home runs and 483 plate appearance batting lefty. His average was 40 points lower, and his OPS was 140 points lower. So last year, there were extreme differences. I don't deny that. But if you look at the rest of his career, those extremes don't exist. So yeah. It feels more like an anomaly, like it was just a bad year. I don't know what else it would be, barring an injury. Now, he did have an injury last year. Maybe that injury affected him more so from the left side of the plate. I guess that's possible. But look, I wouldn't do anything extreme right now. It's early in the season. Bat your way out of a slump.
Yeah.
Mets have a lot of guys slumping. Pete Alonso is now engaging himself in a massive batting slump. Just bat your way out of the slump.
To your point, I'm looking at the splits right now as well from last season. He had many more hits. Obviously, more plate appearances, but many more hits against righties. Then so he's batting left-handed. He had many more hits. He had double the amount of hits.
Yeah, because he had double the amount of plate appearances. That's part of the reason. You bat left-handed so more often than you bat right-handed because there's just so many right-handers that you're seeing. But I wouldn't do that extreme thing. Look, what's so pleasing about last night is when you win a game and your stars don't play well and you overcome that and you get contributions from a DJ Stewart. That's massive. Like I mentioned this stat earlier, 2-3-4 hitters. Lindor, Alonso, Alvarez were a combined 0-for-13. And they won the game. And now they get a build off of that tonight against Atlanta. By the way, Julio Teheran, who started the game for the New York Mets, he's been DFA'd. So when he comes back in a different uniform and pitches at Citi Field, does he get a tribute video? That's the real question. Do we play the highlights of the first two innings in Atlanta against his former team?
Just play the entire start. That'll be the video.
Hey, he looked good for two innings. I was like, oh, look at this. Let's go to Joe on Long Island. Hey, Joe.
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on the Carlos Mendoza move to like kind of announce that he wasn't going to be playing Diaz, Ottavino, and Raley going into the game. It's kind of peculiar, and I just so happened to be listening to the Braves broadcast and seemed like they were a little they felt some type of way about it. You know, Mendoza's kind of like dropping his you know what on the table, like, you know, I'm not playing my best guys, and we're still going to compete.
That's how they looked at it. I looked at it as not that he was being egotistical of, hey, our best relievers aren't available. I think Carlos Mendoza was being way too honest, and he doesn't need to be too honest. Like, while it's nice for me to know and for Met fans to know, hey, Edwin Diaz has pitched 3 out of 4 games, he's not going to be available, why tell us? Why announce to your opponents your intentions? That doesn't make sense to me, Tiki. That's the part that I was a little turned off about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did he announce it or was it asked?
It doesn't matter. What the hell is the difference?
It kind of does, because as a rookie, even though he's been around for a while, as a rookie manager and the guy in charge, the guy whose job it is to speak and give the ins and outs, the X's and O's of what's going on with your team, hey, sometimes you just don't know when you're being taken advantage of. You just don't realize it.
Just say, I'm not telling you who's available.
You're just trying to be honest. You're just trying to be real. You're trying to keep it real with the journalists so they like you, type of thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to do that.
I know, but he's a rookie manager. Like, he doesn't know this yet.
Okay, well, I hope he learns from this. There's no need.
Course.
Again, selfishly, it's nice that I knew. It's nice that you knew.
Of course.
But don't tell the opponent who's available and not available.
I am not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just explaining why it happened. Because I don't know if it was a question. I don't think he got up and had a presser. It's like, oh, just guys letting everybody know that Ottavino and Rayleigh and Edwin Diaz are not available.
No, he was definitely asked.
I don't think it went down like that.
No, he was asked because Edwin Diaz has pitched 3 out of 4 days. Right. Is he available? It's a great question, whoever asked it. And Carlos Mendoza doesn't need to be honest. Like, why the hell would you tell your
opponent? He was honest.
Yeah, but you don't. What's the benefit of that?
There is no benefit.
So then why do it?
Because he likes being honest.
You don't have to be honest.
I know, but he likes being honest.
As much as we
give the dude
fans
credit for actually wanting to get on the right side of the media. And by the way, it didn't matter. They won, right? Barely.
Look, and
they hung on and they won. And now tonight, it doesn't matter because guess who's available? Edwin Diaz.
Now he is available.
And Edwin Avino.
Hopefully they have a lead. Hopefully they have a lead to hand it to him too. That's the key. Let's go to Ed in Marlboro, New York. What's up, Ed? Eddie!
Hello!
What's up, Ed?
Hello!
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you for taking my call. And I do think that's a big step for the Mets coming back and beating the Braves. I enjoyed every minute of it. And I think if they could take 2 out of 4, I mean, I know I don't sound real positive, but 2 out of 4 in Atlanta, to me, is a win.
I agree. I know that to some listening, especially those that root for teams that are 9-2, they would hear something like that and say, what a loser. All you want is one more out of the next 3? Yes. They were 4-16 against the Atlanta Braves going into last night. So getting a split in Atlanta, I'm not saying I have a parade in the Roberts household, but I tell you this, I'd be pretty damn excited. More of your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. We'll play another game of Posted and Toasted coming up at 3:30.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.